Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We want to continue with a conversation we've had this morning that really got us thinking and you talking. Last hour, we spoke with Amit Gupta. He's been diagnosed with leukemia, and he's had a great deal of difficulty finding a bone marrow donor match because he's South Asian, and that pool of donors is substantially smaller here in the U.S. We also spoke with blogger and author Seth Godin, who's offering $10,000 to the first person who matches Amit's bone marrow type, regardless of whether or not they decide to donate. There's a loophole that Godin found in the National Organ Transplant Act of 1984 that makes it a federal crime to give or receive valuable consideration for any transplantable organ or tissue. And that led us to think about the ethics of paying for organizations, and we want to get your opinion.
It's George. I'm calling from Cape Cod, and I guess to get people off the couch, it would take cash to do it rather than a commitment to a fellow human being. That says something as well about our society, but I think this is a good thing.
Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE to weigh in on the discussion. But with us, we've got Dr. Art Kaplan, a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Good morning again.
Hey, Celeste, how are you?
I'm doing well. So let's talk about this loophole that Seth Godin found, in which he's actually paying for someone to register to be a match rather than paying for the donation. Is that kind of sketchy or is that good?
It's sketchy in terms of the law. I doubt it'll work. The bone marrow program will probably know where that donor came from and that cash got exchanged to find him. So I think it'll probably hinder rather than help if they do find someone who's a match.
All right. Well, I want to get your response to some of the comments we've gotten from listeners, if that's okay with you, Art. Here is one listener calling in from New Hampshire.
This is Verona Outeridge. I'm calling from Deering, New Hampshire, and I don't see why people shouldn't be able to do this as long as it is regulated to ensure that there is no coercion or that there's no scrupulous practices. We do have surrogates where different people carry different people's children, and this is for sale. A lot of other care things are for sale. There's no reason why this should not be.
So, Dr. R. Kaplan, what about that? She's comparing it with other places in which people get compensation.
Well, it's interesting. The surrogacy business is one where people get compensated, you might say, to rent a womb. However, it has been rife with scandals, people getting ripped off, people finding themselves exploited by middlemen, even problems come up when the woman gets sick during the pregnancy and who's going to cover the cost. I'm not sure that's the right place to point.
Oh, but is that a small price to pay, given that lives are saved?
Well, let's shift it over to the organ and tissue realm. So there are really three key arguments here that get in the way of trying to get these people to come forward. The first is you have a rare situation where this guy needs a particular ethnic donor. It's just biology goes that way. There's no reason that person can't bid up the price. That is, if I know that you need me and you say, I'll give you 10 grand, I might say, yeah, well, how about 10 million? There's no restriction, so to speak, on my whatever I'm going to charge once I know that you have to have me. Secondly, there's some risk, John, that people may lie, and the quality of the organs may not be so good. We screen, we test, but if you just got HIV or hepatitis within the past 20 days, let's say, we can't find that. People are going to come forward for the money. Third, if things don't go right, so who's paying the freight for the donor, medical bills, disability, all the rest of it?
Well, those are interesting questions. But on the issue of raising the price, I mean, couldn't you create a law, design a law that basically says the individual can't offer their own tissue up, but if it's a third party like Seth Godin did, that under the right sort of circumstances, that it creates an appropriate incentive?
You could try to encourage people to register to donate, but once you introduce that market, I'm going to argue that you're going to see the people who wind up being selected as potential donors rapidly transform into sellers. They got paid once, they're going to look to get paid again.
We're speaking with Dr. Art Kaplan. He's a professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. You know, this goes to a larger issue. It's something that a listener in Michigan texted about. He or she says, my dad died of leukemia. I want people to get help any way that they can. And this is something that another listener mentioned, which is, why is it so difficult to get people to register? I mean, when it's a case of just swabbing your cheek, Why would it? Why would you have to pay or offer $10,000 to get someone to do that?
Well, you don't really need to pay $10,000 to get someone to get genetically identified through a cheek swab. The real rubber hits the road is this. Bone marrow donation is a tough process. You're going to have to get the marrow from inside the bone. And I don't want anybody to drive off the road or pass out in their kitchen, but that means a lot of needles into your hip bone. It means a lot of discomfort. And you can get people to register. I've registered and said I would like to, you know, I'd be a donor, but the fact is every morning I wake up thinking, boy, I hope that doesn't happen. That's going to hurt a heck of a lot. And I'm going to be out of commission for a week.
But wouldn't it be better if people had the opportunity to make that decision once we know where the matches are? It's fine. If you don't want to go through with it, that's okay. But just because you register doesn't mean you're going to go through with it.
Well, John, some years ago we had a case come up where a guy said, look, I know there's a donor out there. He accidentally found out there was a match. And what he sued for was the right to sit on that person's doorstep and beg them every day to do it.
Wow.
When you identify the donor, it's life and death for you, and you're willing to do anything to try and get that rescue done. So that's why we try very hard to, if you will, keep a wall between who knows, pretty simply, the identity of the donor, identity of the recipient. Once you're picked, that's when the action starts. It isn't really trying to recruit people into the bank. It's making sure that they're willing to go through with it. Let me add one other thing, by the way. There are just some groups in the U.S. who have rare bone marrow types because there are just not many of them in the U.S., Japanese Americans or Native Americans. What you're going to have to do there is try to correlate worldwide. We need to get banks that can talk to Japan and China and India, because trying to fish in the U.S. pool alone for rare ethnic types just isn't going to deliver much.
But that's part of what they're trying to do by mobilizing people online.
Getting them registered, which is shared internationally. That's Dr. Art Kaplan, the Cindy D. Kaplan Professor of Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks as always.
Hey, my pleasure.
And we want to get your take on this. Should we be paying for organs be a crime, or paying for someone to get registered? What's the argument for or against compensating donors? Or how about the other idea of just making it an opt-out program? They automatically take a swab from your cheek and you can tell them if you don't want it to be registered. Give us your opinion. 877-8-MY-TAKE.